I was an indentured apprentice engineer in heavy engineering, so I was in a reserved occupation. I was in the Home Guard. That's me as a fearsome warrior. But I wanted to get into the war, and I, as a reserved occupation, I just couldn't. But then in 1941, they were short of people, and I volunteered for fire duties in the Air Force and was accepted after all the medicals and what have you. But they didn't have any room for me in the training program at that time because the Empire training scheme hadn't really got underway. So I was sent back home to carry on. And then when they did send for me, unfortunately, I got measles from my younger brothers. And when I arrived back, they sent me to the medical specialist who said, "You have now developed astigmatism, you're no use to us," and sent me home again. And I went back to finish my apprenticeship as an engineer. But then they were very short of people for ships and what have you. So the Minister for War Transport said that people in engineering who had marine experience could leave their reserved occupations as long as they went to sea as an engineer in marine in the Merchant Navy. So that's how I finished up in the Merchant Navy. I went to sea in 1943. I was a junior engineer. Well, with the aid, there was eight engineers on the ship, chief engineer, second engineer, and then there was third and fourth who were in charge of watches was the second, and they had a junior each. And I was one of the junior on watches in the engine room, doing all the maintenance, repairs, keeping the thing going, etc., etc. But to me, the whole thing was wonderful. My father had been manager of a shipyard and a house in Port Glasgow, overlooked the Clyde when I was a young boy, and he was in the shipyard. So I was brought up around boats and ships. So to me, the whole thing was like the world unfolding in front of me, actually. And I found the whole thing absolutely intriguing, watching all the destroyers and action frigates and what have you. And this time I spent with that ship in the Pacific was out of this world because there was a British Pacific Fleet and then there was a whole American 57th Fleet, which was an absolute armada of ships on the horizon. So the whole thing was wonderful. The first ship I was on was one of two, maybe not of great interest. They were built in 1927. In a Scotch Still engine, which was half steam, half diesel. The diesel pushed the piston down and the steam pushed the piston up. Dante's Inferno. But the Germans sank one in November 1942 in the North Atlantic. But they didn't sink the one I was on because they decided that it was much more valuable to them afloat than it was sunk. Use more of Britain's resources. But they are down through the Mediterranean and we didn't stop at any of the ports. We went past Malta at the time, just after the Sicily campaign, I think, if I remember correctly. And then we went all the way down the eastern seaboard of Africa, or to all the ports down there, and then up the west coast to Matadi, Cotonou, Accra, Lagos. We were in Lagos in 1940 for Christmas, and then we went up to Freetown where we waited. And we got a convoy of about 54 ships and then out and all the way up around the Northern Ireland and back home to Liverpool. I was about 7 months in the old ship and then I joined this ship in the beginning of 44. And that was 2 years, really a wonderful experience because the ship, we sailed light to New York. And then we loaded all the way down the eastern seaboard of the States with cargo for the American troops in the Pacific, which we took to Australia. But coming down, we went through the Panama Canal. During the war, there was a bit of time in port because of the heavy load on the ports themselves, you know, loading and discharging or what have you, particularly in Australia, where the dockers were not known for their lightning capacity. But so we did get a bit of spare time, and I spent quite a lot of time in Australia with that ship during. But as engineers, these ships took a lot of maintenance, so when we were in port, we were working. We worked from 6 till 8, 9 till 12, 1 till 5. And if we were lucky, we went and had dinner. And if we weren't lucky, we just carried on working. So, you know, it just depended. We didn't have a lot of spare time, not at all. Well, I used to play the piano. The radio operator played the guitar or mandolin or something. Somebody played the violin. And we formed a little group in the ship just to pass our own time, of course. And on that ship we had a few naval gunners and dems, which were the army side. I think the naval gunner handled the 3-inch gun forward and the dems handled the 4-inch gun aft and the aircraft. And we formed a little group and we went down to the halts where they had a seaman's wharf place in Negus, like a seaman's mission thing. And they had a competition there one day. We went down and we won about 10,000 Cape to Cairo cigarettes, which were specially made for the troops. The name was Camel to Consumer, but never mind. And these, we managed to buy bananas with in Freetown. But that was one of the breaks in Christmas. We were actually there on Christmas Day, so, you know, it was just something to look forward to. Well, really, I think it was because I felt that I really had to get into this war one way or another. You know, I wasn't... Not that the people at home doing the thing, they had to do the jobs, and the stuff had to be produced, you know. But I just felt that, and having failed to get in the Air Force, when I heard that I could get into the Merchant Navy, my elder brother actually was at sea. He went to sea before the war, but he was an electrical engineer. So I just wrote to 5 or 6 shipping companies looking for a job, really. And they all sent me forms to fill up and what have you, but Blue Funnel didn't. They sent me a telegram and said, report Monday morning. So that was why I arrived in Liverpool. No, to me, the whole thing was a tremendous interest of all the operations to see these massive fleets, which we will never see again, you know. I mean, the Americans had about 8 battleships and 10 big carriers, a massive ship, and we had, 2 battleships and 3 or 4 large aircraft carriers. In fact, I have a photograph somewhere taken from that ship with the Implacable, the big aircraft carrier, on one side, and the KG-5 battleship on the other side, steaming at 10 knots while we stored them at sea with the British apparatus off the coast of Japan. So, to me, the whole thing was just so interesting, you know, one couldn't do anything but find out what was going on.